This is Place Matters, a podcast at the intersection of race, place, and poverty, where we explore the belief that the path towards ending inequity and promoting prosperity is through the work of holistic neighborhood development. Welcome to the final series focusing on one of FCS's three pillars. During this season of Place Matters, we will focus on the pillar of economic development. I'm Sean Duncan, the Director of Training and Consulting for FCS, and the host for Place Matters. So far in this season, you have heard a lot about our philosophy and principles on neighborhood economic development. For the next two episodes, we are especially excited to give you an inside look at our local businesses by introducing you to the amazing people who run them every day, welcoming customers, and ensuring we remain deeply connected to the neighborhood. This week, we are focusing on Carver Market, the neighborhood grocery store FCS opened in 2016 to end a food desert and catalyze an oasis of connection. Speaking with me today are two of our leaders at Carver Market, Michelle Thomas, who is the shift lead, and Sherry Pyburn, our grocery lead. Not only are they employees and leaders, they are also residents of historic South Atlanta. Michelle, Sherry, thank you for making time to have this conversation about Carver Market, a place that you guys make so beautiful and hospitable. So before talking about the market, I just want to hear how you guys came to be a neighbor in South Atlanta. How did that happen?
Well, me, basically, I grew up here.
Okay.
I've been here for 44 years.
Wow.
My family have homes here from Joyland to Polar Rock to Carver Home.
Oh, man. Yeah,
I have family members that moved away and came back. And this neighborhood is where my family is, where the home is the heart. Mm-hmm. This is where it is.
Wow. So you're all in the South Side footprint. That's awesome.
Yes, I actually went to Slater Elementary School.
Wow. Yeah, deep roots then. You're really
definitely
embedded. Yeah. Sure. How about for you? How did you come to South Atlanta?
For me, how I came to South Atlanta was, is I ended up here unexpectedly, and by God's grace, walked into the market, met a lady by the name of Miss Ada, that we all love and miss. I would visit her on the market side, and I would buy blackberries and ready-made salad. And then I would go back to the coffee shop and see Michelle, because I quickly learned she knew what she was doing on that iced coffee. So
she does. This is true.
I began to keep coming here until one day I came in and Miss Ada said, "Jatel just fired somebody. Get your resume and come on quick."
Yeah.
Yes.
And the rest is history.
Wow. That is so great. So if you've been in the neighborhood your entire life, you have family, that makes me curious, like, how have you seen South Atlanta change in that amount? That's a significant amount of time to be spent here. Neighborhood, I'm sure, has changed a significant amount in over 40-year time period. What are some things you've noticed that are different in 2023, 2024 South Atlanta versus, you know, in the 80s of South Atlanta?
Yes. Yeah. I've seen the growth. I have seen it change from rural, kind of really rough urban, to mainly middle class. I have seen the changing in the schools, how they've changed, and they actually are better, way better. I've seen the change in different, I would say, the building work. Like, we have the library, it used to be really small. Now we have a big local library. We have now a floor shop. When we didn't have that, we have different apartments and condominiums all around. We have different stores popping up. So I've seen the growth. I've seen the change. And it's for the better. I've seen a lot of our retirees from when I was a little pity girl running around. I've seen now they're retirees and our seniors, and just remembering a lot of different places. Like, I would say the park, because we the South Atlanta Park and the park right up here by Carver High School and the Joyland Park. I've seen it change from having swimming pool, to having a skate park, to having a dog, a place where you could take your animals and walk them, and how the playground to change from the silver slides that used to burn in the summertime.
I just feel it peeling the skin off my legs. Oh my God,
yes. So now we have, you know, the safety slides for the kids, but we still have the cute ornament that's down there towards Joyland Park. And at South Atlanta, you still have the big pool and stuff like that. I've seen a lot of things change, a lot of come and a lot of go. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm happy to see it because it's, I'm like, wow, I've been here for decades.
Yeah.
I had to say that. Yeah. I've been here for decades.
Yeah.
And seeing the growth in the neighborhood and people change, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
Because old friends go, new friends come.
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting, but it still always felt like home to me.
Mm. And Sherry, how about for you? I mean, you know, if you've been working at the market since Jatel was around, you've been around for a minute in the market. How long have you lived in the neighborhood of South Atlanta?
The whole entire time.
Okay.
I've been working here.
Okay.
That's how long I've been in South Atlanta.
So what made you want to make South Atlanta not just a place of employment, but home? That's a big decision. Those are, you know, saying, yes, I'll work for you versus like, yes, I'm going to live in this neighborhood. That's a big thing. What made you want to make South Atlanta home?
The people, the neighborhood, the community. Mm-hmm. That's what made this my home.
Yeah. What about raising kids in the neighborhood? Like, what's that? I mean, it's one thing as an adult to experience the changes in the neighborhood and like to be excited about growth. But if you've got little ones or younger ones or young adult ones that you're raising, like how has that impacted your view of the neighborhood?
It really has impacted my view of the neighborhood because I've seen it from the better. My kids love the youth group. FCS has a wonderful youth group. We first moved over here, before I even started working here, they're like, Mom, they got a youth group and they got cooking classes. Oh my God, we gotta go to that. So we started with the cooking classes as a family, and then I started working, and that was back in like 2015. And then all of a sudden, the youth group, and my kids love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, they love the area because their sister and them graduated from Price Middle School. She went to Price, and then we moved away for a little bit. Then we came right back, and they was like, it was so different from where we came from. They enjoyed it. They made so many new friends, and they was like, wow. I had some of them come from Slater, the school I literally went to when I was a kid. So they went to Slater, to Price, from Price to Culver, to Culver Steam, to Culver Early College. I have like now I would say almost 5 graduates from Culver High School. And my mom, was valedictorian of Culver High School.
Oh, that's incredible.
So most of my family had graduated from Culver.
Yeah.
So we represent that to the fullest.
Yeah.
Die hard Culver people.
So you love that Carver's on the name of the market then. That's a special element of
pride
for you. Yeah.
And I love the fact that when COVID did hit, Culver Market was one of the first businesses to actually put up the banners because the kids couldn't go do the prom or couldn't do graduation like normal. Mm-hmm. But they had banners and the kids' pictures posted all over South Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And Culver Marsh posted my son picture and his friends and my daughter picture graduating that year. They were a little sad, but when they saw their pictures, they were so proud because that's something they did and they achieved. Mm-hmm. And I was proud. And I was like, I'm proud.
It's my baby.
That's my baby. Every time we pass by, that's my baby. Yeah. I worked there. You see that?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so great. I'm curious about what you guys think about for the future of the neighborhood, right? I mean, you've seen years and decades of change and evolution, but we're not done, right? There's still lots of great work going on. There's lots of great visions being cast for the future of South Atlanta. What would you say are some of your hopes for the future of the neighborhood?
Well, I'm glad to see more businesses coming in. And, you know, like I said, without community grounds and Culver Market, there wouldn't be any business. This was a food desert. And you couldn't find anything over here.
Right.
When I moved back from Bolton Road to over here, I couldn't find anything. I was looking and searching, and I'm like, I'm not finna go to the gas station just to get a banana something. And my kids needed something healthy and something to eat. And I was so blessed to find Calvary Market and Community Grounds right here. Then I was like, the wonderful people that work here got me interested in working here. I was like, oh my God, this is more like being with my family than, you know, being at a job, because the people are so caring and giving, and they're looking out for the neighborhood. They look out for the people, the seniors, the young adults, the children. I never been to a place where, or a community that you actually have that, especially at employment, that actually give back to the neighborhood so much and care for the people that work for the work for their company and for the neighborhood and the people that are surrounding them.
Yeah.
Calvary Market and Community Ground and FCS cares.
Yeah.
And that's what matters. I mean, that what makes a great company. That would make me want to stay as long as I've stayed.
Yeah.
I would, I mean, I've never stayed this long at a company because you don't feel heart there, but I feel heart here. So that what makes me fight for this company.
Yeah.
You can't say nothing about Karl Marx because we'll be up in arms.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, just because we have businesses, and like, all neighborhoods need businesses, and a lot of neighborhoods have businesses, but that doesn't mean like a neighborhood is being formed or a community or families being connected. And like, that's what makes it what we want, right? To see businesses. Share it for you as you think about future of South Atlanta, the things that you hope to see, want to see, or eager to see coming down the road.
Well, what I would be eager to see is expansion.
Okay.
Maybe to see like Michelle said earlier, another Carver Market.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to see this. I would like to see this be continued.
Yeah.
To help.
Yeah. Because South Atlanta is not the only neighborhood that's facing the challenges.
Other communities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because each and every day I see, as I've seen all these years, I see older people, I see children, I see people of different ages and walks of life that are good, that we provide. Provide a place for them to come shop, but I feel like here, I feel like it's smaller. It's more like a family atmosphere. You come here, you shop. We go the extra mile to really care and to really take care of you. That's not something that you get somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's a great value.
And what? Prior to Carver Market, a food desert is a term that people probably recognize, but I don't know if everybody understands this is what you have to do if you're a family living in a food desert trying to get affordable, healthy groceries for your family. So no Carver Market, South Atlanta is a food desert. What is an individual or family, what are they having to do to make sure their family is cared for as far as groceries and healthy options?
Well, just like I said, when I first moved over here and I didn't know about Carver Market, I would have to go 5 or 6 or maybe 7 miles away or even 10 just to go get groceries or go get a bag of apples for my kids or some cuties or something. And that doesn't make sense when we're surrounded by different homes, different homes, different apartments, and surrounded by schools. And that don't make sense that not one person wanted to invest in South Atlanta until Carver Market invested in South Atlanta. And that's a shame because the people here deserve better.
They do, yep.
And they deserve that love and that care from the government and from other businesses. Once you get to know your neighbors and your neighborhood and where you're working and stuff, it opens up. And I, like I say, I always, even my family, when they come down from New York, they're like, oh, you got a little bodega down here. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the bougie name for Carver Market. It's a bodega.
Yes, it is. They're like, they love it. They're like, oh, we love this. Yeah. We don't have this over in my neighborhood. Our bodega is different.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, because you don't know what you're messing with. We got the good stuff here. What you talking about?
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So it's good to see that people literally come far away just to come shop here. Mm-hmm. I have a couple customers that come from Clayton County.
Oh, wow.
Gwinnett, Decatur, mm-hmm. and one of them, she comes all the way up from Thomasville.
Oh, wow.
Just to come here
yeah.
to get Carver Market products because she know that our produce is fresh.
Yeah. yeah.
I have different chefs that comes in and they kill us on the strawberries.
Yeah.
We love them to death. They kill us on the strawberries.
Yeah.
But they come for the freshness. Mm-hmm. They come for the people, the freshness. They come in, hey, Sherry. Hey, Michelle. How y'all doing?
Like, I love it.
Girl, we doing good. How you? How's... And they and mm-hmm. a lot of different, and we're just noticing a lot of different vendors that actually want to work with Carver Market too because mm-hmm. of the community that we stay in
yeah.
and because of the people that work for Carver Market and Community Grounds
mm-hmm.
because the friendliness, and they see the openness and it feels like home in the community that's around it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bring it on.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by the number of our customers that walk to the store that mm-hmm. don't. Either have a car, don't have access to a car regularly, or completely use public transportation. And to think about, it's one thing to say, hey, the nearest affordable, fresh grocery option is 7 to 10 miles away. Like, yeah. okay, if you've got a car, that's annoying. There's traffic, there's interstate, and you got to calculate what times of day is traffic bad. And, you know, so it's kind of a annoying inconvenience, right? But if you're using public transportation, that annoying 7 miles becomes 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just the travel time is a 2 hour round trip, right? Versus like an annoying 15 to 20 minute drive, you now got an annoying 2-3 buses that you're changing off of. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think when people hear food desert, it can sound just like some general social issue versus like, no, this is a real like severe force that people are having to navigate and deal. But versus like, I can walk 5 blocks, I can get some groceries, I can get home.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like as you guys talk about what you love about the market, part of what fascinates me about Carver Market is that like one of the obvious benefits is there's now fresh, affordable groceries. Like that's super yes. obvious that that's a benefit. And it's a huge benefit. And we celebrate that benefit. But you guys are talking about all the benefits that wasn't about apples or prices or lettuce. You're talking about people walking in the door that you know. And like this family, this community. So in that, like, what are some of your just favorite moments or people that just like, there's the job of selling groceries, but there's also the job of just loving your neighbor. So what are some of y'all's like favorite moments or people or encounters that you guys get to have in the store on a regular basis?
My favorite is the OGs. We call them the OGs. Those are the original Carver Market and Community Ground OGs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's our senior citizen neighbors.
Yeah.
They come together in a group and they come every other day.
Yeah.
And they come and they sit at their usual table.
Yeah.
They come and get their coffee, their breakfast, and they have their little meeting. They talk about football. They talk about sports. They talk about the community. Mm. They talk about what's going on in the world. And it is so wonderful.
It's beautiful.
To see them so vibrant and to share their wisdom. We have great photographers. We do have famous people that come in. Mm. I ain't going to drop names. But we do. And they're so nice. And to so amazing to see some of the work they've done and the achievements, especially our OGs, the things and the knowledge they drop on us.
Yeah.
Especially as young, you know, I would say I'm still a young.
You're still a young adult. It still counts. Right.
I'm still young.
Yeah.
The knowledge they drop on us is very like, wow. They could tell you about how it was in the 70s and the 60s and stuff like that. And they tell us about how the markets change, how to value, what to look at, and if we're going to do stock marketing, and what to look at if we're going to buy homes and stuff. This is advice that you would literally have to go to a banker or something. I could just go to my neighbor who's right here to give me that advice. And believe me, we love them. Love them to death. They're one of our best customers and one of the greatest people that I've
And it is
met.
Their table. I mean, there's not a label on the table, but it's their table.
It's their table. Don't get it wrong.
Yeah.
It's not a label on the table, but it's their table. And when you see them, people literally come and they've like come from different places and they come and just gather around them mm-hmm. because they feel so welcome. And when they gather around the OGs, they are part of the
part community. Of the crew.
Yeah. That's right. And we have other OGs that like to come and try to they join the group, mm-hmm. and it's like wow. Mm-hmm. And you know, we also you know, my other favorite is the Spanish classes that okay. happen here. I mean, every Saturday, there's a Spanish class, a Spanish group that come in, and it's amazing. We have different groups that come in Saturday and Sunday to have their meetings and stuff. So to get to know some of those people, it's always been amazing and fun to me. And mm-hmm. a couple of our neighbors that come in, you see them being pregnant. Mm-hmm. From being pregnant to having the babies.
Yeah.
And you get to know their kids, and now their kids are teenagers, and it's like you're growing with that family.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome. I'm like, I remember you when you were in your mom's stomach, and now look at you, you're 6 years old.
Yeah.
And they know me. Hey, Miss Michelle, how you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing, baby?
That's beautiful. Yeah. Sherry, how about for you? What are some of your favorite moments, encounters, just parts of the non-grocery selling side of what you get to do every day?
The non-grocery selling side, mm-hmm. I call them the Breakfast Club. That's okay. my name for them. And all of them, Mr. Rick, Mr. Luce, Mr. Larry.
Miss Luce.
You know, all of them that come in, mm-hmm. at like she said, every yeah. other day.
Yeah.
They make the place.
Yeah.
They own the place. They make the place. They don't have to have their own name on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is y'all's hope for the customers that come through? I mean, I know it's like we want you to find what you're looking for. We want you to pay a price that you can afford. But when you have a customer come in and leave, like, what is your hope for them and their experience of Carver Market?
I hope they keep coming back. I hope they come back and they enjoy their experience here. I hope they not only find what they're looking for, but find that it's pleasant. It's a great place to come. They can come and shop and go get coffee, go get a sandwich, go get a salad or a soup, relax a little bit, enjoy yourself, then go back and shop some more. Mm-hmm. But come and know the neighborhood and get to know some of the people that stay here and work here. Yeah. So, yeah, I want them to enjoy themselves.
Be seen. Want to be like, this is a place I know that I'm getting more than produce and cereal. I'm gonna be seen by my neighbors.
Definitely. Yeah,
that's really good. That's really good. What are some of the challenges of this? So people see Carver Market. They say, hey, there's other neighborhoods that are currently a food desert the way South Atlanta used to be. And they say, man, we would love to have a Carver Market in our neighborhood. Like, what would you say? Like, well, here's going to be some challenges. If you really want to do this, we're glad that you think it's beautiful and you want to do it, but here are some warnings. Here's some challenges that if you're going to run a small market, what's the challenge of that work?
I would say the challenge of that work is to get to know the community that you're going to invest in. Get to know the neighbors in that community. Get to know the area. Get to know the people that you want to hire and what you're looking for. And to invest, because like I said, Carver Market is in community ground is an investment, but it's also building up the mm-hmm. community. So what I say, if you're going to open up a business like Carver Market and Community Ground, yeah. I would say know what you're looking for. And once you know what you're looking for, invest in that community and the people in that community. Because the people in the community is going to make that investment grow.
Hey guys, just jumping in here real quick with an opportunity for you to bring FCS's principles and practices to your neighborhood. We would love to take you and your local partners through our 2-year multi-sector cohort that we call City Shapers. Cohorts launching this year will be partially funded by the Lilly Endowment, so it's a great time to jump in. We have taken 3 communities through this process already and would love to bring it to you next. Contact us today to learn more at fcsministries.org. So taking us back to 2020, we're all familiar with this little thing that happened then called COVID mm-hmm. to re-traumatize us to remember those things. So that had a massive impact on every business, whether they were like multi-billion dollars or just a local market like ours. So Sherry, kind of take us back. COVID hits. It's a big moment for the store. What were the conversations like for the store and our future when we knew that we were staring down the barrel of maybe potentially closing?
Okay. So back in 2020, it was the decision on what are we going to do? Are we going to keep moving forward? A lot of people were scared. And it was the question, did you want to keep working in the dangerous environment to keep working? Did you want to do that? Or did you want to not do that? And I remember having the conversation with Jeff, and he said, the question is, it's your decision. Do you want to keep going? And I said, yes, we're going to keep going. Hmm. We're family.
Hmm. That's it. Hmm.
So from then, it was truck, truck, truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people came from miles for toilet paper because we had toilet paper on the shelves when other places didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And that's a big risk to take to be in a customer service oriented business. So like for you, like what made it worth it for you to say this is not just a simple business decision. This is a personal health risk decision to make to stay open, stay available. What for you, what made you be willing to step into that risk?
Dedication, determination, and at the time, the love that I had for who I worked with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about for you?
The same. Dedication, yeah. Determination, and the love of the people I work with,
mm-hmm.
and the community that I work for.
Yeah.
Because they had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be there for them. And I know Carver Marketing Community Ground and FCS wanted to be there for them also. And they were.
Yeah,
we were here for them. We were here when they had no milk on, when it was hard to get milk, when the Kroger down the street, mm-hmm. down like 10, like I said, almost 10 hours away,
yeah.
closed down.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the other stores around us was closed. We were the only one open.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there when they needed hot food, when they needed different items like toiletries. We was there with fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. When most places couldn't get certain things, we had it.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure we could get it. Thank you to Miss Sherry for looking out and getting that for us, girl. I'm telling you, that's what.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, being there for the neighbors. They appreciated it. They come... Yeah. They came back and they sent letters and notes. They appreciate that we was there for them. Even people who didn't stay in the neighborhood and they had to come here just to get certain items, like soap and stuff like that. They were happy to step in the door. They're like, thank God you saved our lives. We didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, you came to the right place.
Mm.
We got you.
Wow. Well, what's the difference of like when people think about food deserts and they think about grocery stores, most people picture Kroger, Publix, Whole Foods. They see these like massive, you know, grocery stores. Why would you advocate maybe that for South Atlanta, Carver Market's a better decision for us than having like a huge grocery store? Like what's the benefit of having a Carver Market versus a Kroger, Publix kind of sitting on this corner?
Because we know the people, we know the customers that come in the door. Each customer, we try to get to know them. We know our customers. We mm-hmm. ask them what they need. What do you want? What do you need? What do you want us to put on the shelf for you?
Yeah.
So we know what to provide for our customers. We try to give them the best customer service ever because we don't see them as customers. We see them as part of our families.
Mm.
If your family walked in that door today and asked, well, you know, I need this... This peanut butter, the honey roasted peanut butter is organic because we can only get gluten-free organic. And I'm on the diet. Can you see if you can get that? We make sure we can get that for them. So that's one thing that I don't see in big grocery stores. They're more of robots. Yeah. I see them. They're down for their agendas, but they're not down for the neighborhood.
Mm.
I don't see them giving back to the neighborhood like Carver Market do. They don't go and do Treat Street or Pride for Parents. We make sure our neighborhood is taken care of and loved. And that's one thing about Coffin Market, FCS, and Community Grounds. We're there for our community, and our community is there for us.
Sherry, anything you'd add that, say, like, what makes having Carver Market better in the neighborhood than a big box kind of grocery store?
Because Carver Market, it's neighborhood, it's community. We know just about each and every individual that come in there by first name basis.
Mm-hmm. And you probably know what they're going to buy before they buy it.
And I know 8 to 9 times out of 10, yes, I know what they're going to buy before they buy it.
I just feel like I should text you, I'm on my way, and you could have some Coke Zero sitting on the counter before I...
Yes, yeah, I definitely know that.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I just want to say thank you to both of you that food deserts aren't ended because of grocery stores. It's people that changes that. You talk about the changes in South Atlanta. Have you seen, like, those don't happen just because we build things. It happens because of the people. Because when that door's open, they see your two faces and they see the team. Like, that's what's changing the dynamics of South Atlanta, that the just dropping a grocery store in a food desert isn't the solution, right? Like, cultivating a community that also has groceries, that's the solution. And you guys are doing that for us. And I just want to say thank you to what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks for jumping on this and having a microphone in your face for a little while. I appreciate you doing that too.
Definitely. Awesome. And one thing I do want to say is I do love the way that FCS go back to the local high school.
Oh, yeah, the students.
And
yeah,
the students. We have students. So we look forward to the future. Yeah. We have students from Carver High School and Carver STEAM and all Kelp and Price and stuff. They come. They actually come and apply for jobs and get jobs here. So we're not only giving back to the community, we're giving back to the future. Yeah. So our future is our community. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I am so proud of, that we reach out to our different high school and schools around here, and the teachers love Carver Market Community Ground. They literally bring their students who are looking for jobs and bring them straight to our door.
Yeah.
And ask, well, I got this kid right now, and you know, they got a great GPA and they need this, and if you hire them.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I am so proud of. And my kids, I admit, have worked here. So yes, I am so grateful for Carver Market and Community Grounds.
I mean, that's something I think about, that I don't imagine most grocery stores navigate the volume that we navigate with just students coming in. Like, well, first of all, we didn't name the grocery store after FCS, even though it's our grocery store. We named it after the local school. So it's Carver Market after Carver High School and the cluster of schools that are part of that. And because of our proximity, I mean, we're like in the next door neighbors to the high school. We get kids, teenagers coming through there all the time. And I think a lot of business owners would rather teenagers just never show up. Like, they're an annoyance, they're loud, they only spend a couple dollars at a time. But like, just to see the work you guys have done to like make them feel welcomed and a part of this, like to be hired as employees, but also to be seen as customers, right? To be treated with that dignity and respect. And it's just been really cool to watch just how you guys and Jeff and the rest of the team have really strategized to say, we know the summer's over with, those teenagers are coming back. You know, like, how are we going to facilitate a welcoming experience for our teenagers while recognize we have other customers there, that, like, how do we make sure this is a welcoming space? Like, regardless of income, regardless of age, regardless if you're spending hundreds of dollars on groceries or $2 on a coffee, like, this is going to be a welcoming space for everybody. And it's just been fascinating to watch you guys do what you do. It's really incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and thank you for today. This has been great. The best way to learn about our economic development work and everything else we do is to come see it for yourself. We love hosting guests in historic South Atlanta. Coming March of 2024, we will be hosting a 2-day immersive event called Open House. Come, meet our team, see our work, and walk the neighborhood. To register, go to fcsministries.org/openhouse. Place Matters is produced by Focused Community Strategies, whose mission it is to partner with under-resourced neighborhoods to provide innovative and holistic development that produces flourishing communities and God's shalom. Place Matters is hosted by FCS's training and consulting team. If you'd like to inquire about our training and consulting services, please reach out to us via our website or find us on LinkedIn and social media. This information can be found in the show notes. If you'd like to watch these episodes, the video can be found on our YouTube channel. If you like this episode, please share it on social media. Your support means a lot to us. This show was edited by Tim Rhodes with music by Eric North. Special thanks to David Park, Becca Klein, and Rose Silva at FCS for their work in organizing and recording these sessions. We would also like to say thanks to our partner, Lilly Endowment, Inc., whose Thriving Congregations grant has made this podcast possible.